My biggest hack is stay in bed and rest. You are healing. You just went through the most miraculous but hardest change your body will probably ever go through. And you need to be gentle. My husband knows this. Like if we have another one, I don't come downstairs before noon ever. I am upstairs with the baby. I don't come downstairs. He has the older two boys, or he takes them to daycare or to school, but I rest.
Hi, mom friend, and welcome back to the Learning to Mom podcast. It's so nice to have you here. If you're new here, my name is Layla, and I ask prenatal health experts all of your gazillion first-time mom questions for you so that you can be empowered and educated without feeling overwhelmed. Now, today's episode, I sit down with Stacia from Postpartum Care USA. At the time of this episode, she was calling her business Postpartum Care Indiana. So I just don't want you to be confused when we refer to Postpartum Care Indiana. We're really talking about Postpartum Care USA. But today's episode covers all things preparing for postpartum. Let's get after it. Hi, Stacia. Thanks so much for being here. Welcome to the Learning to Mom podcast.
Thank you. I love it. I cannot wait. I feel like I'm having coffee with a friend.
I love that. That is so sweet to hear that. And I love that we're both Hoosiers. So we got that going.
IU. Fight.
Sorry to the Boilermakers out there. Before we dive right into how moms-to-be can prepare for postpartum, I would love for you to share a little bit about yourself and really what spurred you to start Postpartum Care of Indiana.
Yeah, thank you so much. So yes, my name is Stacia Scott and I am a wife, a mom. I have three boys, three and under, Shepherd, Easton, and Cody. I am married to my high school sweetheart, Eric. So it's kind of crazy to be in this season of life now because we've been talking about being parents and what our kids would look like, you know, for years. So to have it actually in front of you and to be like, wow, like we made these three little boys is actually really surreal. But yeah, as a mom of three and a nurse practitioner, I felt like for my first postpartum that it was just okay, like I got this. I had no idea what it truly meant to when moms are like, I'm in postpartum. I got diagnosed with postpartum OCD, postpartum rage, postpartum anxiety, and postpartum depression about 6 months in with my first. And I had no idea that these things were even things to watch out for. You kind of hear, okay, you're going to get a postpartum anxiety and depression screening. And you're like, okay. And you fill it out and then you get a 15-minute visit and then you're on your own. And it's like, wait a second. I had no guidance on body changes, hormone shifts, what I can do for my own body to supplement and nourish my healing, my mental health. And so I felt like pretty much I got slapped in the face. And I was alone. I felt isolated. Even though I was not alone physically, I felt alone mentally all the time. I felt like I was drowning. I felt like my marriage was suffering because I couldn't put into words how I was feeling. And my husband's like, what happened to you? Where's my sweet wife? Where is my patient wife? Where? And I couldn't understand it. And so for my own benefit, I'm like, I am going to dive into the postpartum world and become an expert. And that's exactly what I did. And so fast forward to January of 2021, one of my dearest best friends, Chelsea, had a great pregnancy, healthy, everything was perfectly fine. Her labor was great. And then postpartum, she went home. She had sky high blood pressure. And happened to call me and say, hey, you know, my feet are really swollen. I'm not feeling well. And she sent me a picture and her legs were so swollen. It looked like she could have like fluid would be like seeping out of her legs. Like that is how swollen her legs were.
Oh my gosh.
So of course, like, I'm like, you need to go to the ER. And she's like, are you kidding me? Like, I just got home from postpartum. I'm a new mom. Mm-hmm. Like that's the last thing she wanted to do. But thank heavens she listened, and she ended up being admitted, and she coded and was intubated and lifelined down to OB ICU. Yeah. And so when we knew she was going to make it, I remember coming downstairs and I was like, I am done. Like, this cannot happen anymore to any moms. Why? And what happened to her was 100% preventable. And how often does this happen? So then I started like digging myself into a hole and I just did all of this research, and Indiana is the third leading maternal mortality death state in the nation. And of those, 83% happens postpartum. Why? Why is this happening? Why are moms dying? Why are moms so sick? And so I decided to open up this clinic, and we opened up January 2nd, and we have not looked back. It has been an incredible experience. We have moms in all sorts of states, because we can see moms in every state, and just the feedback and them telling me, like, I felt so alone, or I was suffering in silence, and I had no guidance, or I had pelvic floor issues. I had no idea that this was even a thing. I can guide and direct their care, you know, under us, which is so great. And to have resources that they would have never had access to. Some of my moms would still be suffering a year postpartum.
What a freaking awesome story. I mean, terrifying for Chelsea, like, but what an awesome story of where you saw that there was a need and you stepped into that. Interrupting myself here because I would love to know why you're tuning into the Learning to Mom podcast and how it's serving you right now, wherever you are. As you may know, I'm a one-woman show, so your reviews mean so much to me. Please leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this podcast on, and you could get featured on a future episode. Today, I am featuring Gracie and Blue's mom review, 5-star review titled Amazing. And she says, saying this podcast is amazing is simply an understatement. As a new soon-to-be mother, I wanted to educate myself on all things pregnancy and childbirth. This podcast has helped me immensely. Because of you, I feel so confident when asking questions or making decisions on all things related to baby. Thank you so much for helping all women just like me. You are truly a blessing. Gracie and Blue's mom, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that review. This is what keeps me going. Knowing that I'm making a difference and that this podcast is serving you well just really, like, it just does really, like, wonders for me. So thank you so much. Now it's your turn. Please take out your phone or your computer, wherever you're listening to this on, and leave me a rating and review letting me know how this podcast is serving you.
Yes. Why not utilize my nurse practitioning degree in a field and in an area that hasn't been touched? And I don't know why. Postpartum is essential. It is, we get one visit. I think we get like 13 plus visits with our provider during our pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And then postpartum, we have none. And yeah. I would arguably say postpartum is even more important, because not only are you caring for yourself, you also have a new baby that you're having to care for, and there's no direction. So if you're not caring for yourself, you're not able to care for that child at your optimal level.
Yeah. So. And what I see is society expects, like, oh, 6 weeks, you're done. You're out of postpartum. And that is not the case at all for anyone who's actually birthed a baby. You know that I'm over here and I'm like, when will I be back to normal? And I recently saw this thing. You're probably very aware of this, Stacia, of it takes like 7 years.
Yeah. Actually, they're saying 10.
10 years?
10. Yes. And this is why that is if you are not appropriately taking care of yourself and doing the steps you need, like supplement wise, nutrition wise. Because if you think about it, it makes sense. So when I explain this to my patients all the time, your placenta that is housing all of your nutrients, everything that you need to nourish yourself and your baby, it is appropriately guiding those nutrients to yourself, to the baby, mm-hmm. like whatever needs to happen. So then when you birth your baby and then you birth your placenta, mm-hmm. all of your nutrients go with it, all yeah. of it. So you're already depleted. You're depleted of nutrients that are essential for healing, that are essential for your mental health, that are essential for energy, all of that, focus, sleep, all of it is like pretty much gone. And so you see these moms that are just trying to play catch up and trying to play catch up, and they're not on supplements and they're not eating appropriate. I mean, I remember postpartum, how many times would you be like, oh my gosh, I haven't eaten today. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because it's so real. You're so tired. And some of that fatigue is just obviously being a new mom and being up in the middle of the night, getting your schedule. Yeah. But a lot of it can be prevented right from the get-go. We can get you on supplements. We can get you that nutrition that you need in order to be successful and help prevent, you know, postpartum anxiety and depression, help prevent that mental fog that, so I have moms that are 4 years out postpartum that are still struggling. And I'm like, I gotcha. And they're like, how come this isn't a thing? And it's just, I don't know. Yeah. But we're changing that. We're changing it. So that is why. That is why that 7 to 10 year, that is why. Because you're constantly playing catch up. And then you have hormone shifts. And then you stop breastfeeding. And then your period comes. And then everything is just like falling down on you like Rome. I mean, it is. Holy and then you're cow. Just constantly. Yeah. So that is why. Oh. And it's 100% true. I know.
Dang. But no, not to scare anybody out there.
No longer. It will not be that way anymore.
Yes. Thanks to Postpartum Care of Indiana, which you don't have to be in Indiana for.
No, you don't. I just named it Postpartum Care of Indiana because that is where I'm from. I want our moms, our Hoosier moms, to get the best care and support because we're the third leading state. Like, get
yeah, that's wild. So we did kind of just chat about this a little bit, but I think it's really important to kind of just nail home of like, why is preparing for postpartum so important?
Mm-hmm. So you prepare for your labor, right? You get all these labor classes, you get all of like the Lamaze classes, the prep courses, but labor can go in two directions, vaginal or C-section. That baby is not coming out of your nose. That baby is not coming out of your ear. It's either those two. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you flip over to postpartum can go 1,000 different ways. Not only can it go 1,000 different ways, your first postpartum, if you have multiple kids, is not the same as your second. Yeah. Your second postpartum is not the same as your third. None of your postpartums are the same. So if you were fortunate and blessed enough to not get diagnosed with postpartum anxiety, depression, any of those perinatal mood disorders, that does not mean that you're right. not going to have that with your second or third. So it's really just a lot of education. Like, I want my moms to feel empowered and prepared, not only for postpartum, but for the rest of their life. I mean, we're not just getting labs and saying, okay, here are your labs. Okay, they're normal. Be on your merry way. No, we're saying, these are the reasons why we're getting these labs. This is how you read them. There is normal lab values, but there's also optimal lab values. We want all of our moms at that optimal level.
Yeah. Okay?
And then what supplements to be on? We don't just say, okay, and here's your supplements. We say, this is what magnesium is. There are 7 different types of magnesium. This is the ones that you need to be on for XYZ. If you feel a certain way or a hormone shift, increase your magnesium. Or this is zinc. This is what zinc does in your body. So we teach them, because then when you go through menopause and you get labs drawn and they come back and they're like, oh, your labs are normal, you're going to say, Mr. or Miss Doctor, my labs may look normal, but they're not optimal. And they're going to say, holy cow, how did you know that? Mm-hmm. And they're going to say, because I was educated on it. And I know. Yeah. So, and for your kids, you will be able to read your kids' labs and so it's all preparing you not only for postpartum, but to empower you in order to carry on this information and to feel comfortable sharing this information and educating your family about it. Because let's face it, like, moms are the ones that are taking the kids to the doctor's appointments. Moms are the ones that are doing this, and it's no fault to the dads. That's just what we do. So I want moms to know, like, this is information that is vital for the rest of your life.
Yeah. It's also so individualized, which is great that that's what you guys are all about. Whereas it's, my labs might look normal for someone my age and is 2 feet taller than me.
Yeah.
But is it normal for me and my BMI and my, like, everything?
Exactly. Exactly. You hit the nail on the head, because normal lab values were based off of sick patients. So if you go to West, LabCorp, Mackle, any hospital facility, those lab values are based of what does this patient need to be at in order for their body to combat an illness or a disease. They are not meant for healthy individuals. There are a totally different set of lab values for optimal health. So for example, like if you have like vitamin D, you know, the lab may say the ranges are between 30 and 100. Well, that is not optimal value. Or with magnesium, labs may say like, you know, 1 to 4. Well, that is not, if you're like, oh, well, I'm a 3. Okay. Well, that's not optimal for postpartum. We need you at a 5.5 and above, mama.
Dang.
So, and they're like, oh my gosh. And, you know, and then there's things where, you know, we teach vitamin D. You can take as much vitamin D as you want, but it does not work without magnesium. So I have all these moms that are on vitamin D, but it's not, the mechanism of action is not like punted into gear unless you're on magnesium too. So there's all these things that you don't know. And also not all supplements are the same. You know, if you're getting your supplements from CVS or on Amazon, they probably are full of synthetic material. Mm. They're not organic, full of crap that isn't needed in there. So we have the best of the best supplements ready to go for our moms. And they're all individual.
That's so awesome. Mm-hmm. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
Back to preparing for postpartum. Yeah. Not only like is, I guess you think or believe that it's mostly just about education, correct?
Education. And also you need to be aware of your body. So mentally too. So what are your triggers?
Yeah.
What are boundaries? What do boundaries mean? What is your new love language? We talk about love language a lot because when you give birth, you are no longer the same woman. So I see a lot of
Do you think love language has changed?
Oh,
mine's 1,000% the same. Physical really? Touch, give me the cuddles.
Oh, that is amazing because a lot of moms say I'm touched out.
I am touched out. Well, I think that's probably because my husband's physical touch is like at his bottom. And I already know because her personality is already showing my baby girl does not like physical touch either. So
please love me. See, mine went from quality time and physical touch. Now mine is acts of service and words of affirmation.
Yeah.
So mine have changed significantly. And so for couples that are sometimes like, I always say, okay, what was your love language and what is it now? And dads get on calls. I have had several spouses and partners on calls because the mom is like, I can't explain. And you know, men, they don't really realize the postpartum. They don't understand it. It's not really a thing. And so I help navigate that. And that's been wonderful as well.
That is really cool.
So it's a lot of understanding how to navigate those perinatal mood disorders, how to navigate and prepare yourself. Cause some moms, unfortunately, there are significant hormone shifts, kind of like your trimesters in pregnancy. You also have hormone shifts postpartum within like those trimesters too.
Yeah.
And so like 4 to 6 months, 8 to 10 months, but some moms experience like a 4 to 6 month hormone shift, plus their baby has a sleep regression, plus they may be starting their period. So that all happens at once and they're like, oh my gosh, what is going on with me? What's going on with my body? And then again, at like 8 to 10 months, some moms are weaning off of breastfeeding. They're starting their period. Some moms get pregnant. It's, you know, their body's on a constant roller coaster. So we're here to say, yes, this is normal. This is normal for you to feel this way. Hang on, like up your magnesium, up your vitamin B, vitamin D. Like we help them
navigate. So cool.
Yeah. And I've had moms that are like, oh my gosh. And I always say like, I promise you it works. That's why we give 100% money back guarantee. Cause I know it works. I will give you the tools. If you follow what we are telling you to do, I promise you it works. And 100% of my moms so far have all said, yep. Like I'm coming out of that fog. It's been about 6 weeks. I've been taking my supplements every single day. I know. And I feel so good. And I'm like,
That is so awesome.
I know. Dang.
That is so, so cool.
It's such a blessing.
Are you hoping that you're going to remember everything about your baby's first year of life? It is crazy how quickly it does go. Everyone says that it happens so fast And then you are going through it and you're like, oh my gosh, they weren't kidding. I blinked and it was over. There's so many things that happen in your baby's first year of life that it is impossible to remember it all. There is so much joy and happiness and so many special moments that are easily forgotten because that first year of life is such a whirlwind. I really wish I had something to be able to look back on and just remember all of the awesomeness and fun that we had that year. That is why I want to tell you about Duncan and Stone. Duncan and Stone Paper Co. is a stationery company that combines timeless design with effortless journaling. Their mission is to connect generations by preserving the life experiences of each person through simple, guided prompts. In a world that chases momentary, they believe in capturing the moments that matter most through the beauty of handwritten storytelling. They have beautiful journals and memory books for every occasion, from engagement journals to grandparent legacy journals. But today, I want to talk about two specific, beautiful stationery products that they have. First, Duncan and Stone's Pregnancy Prayer Journal for you to remember each week of this pregnancy and milestones. Write beautiful letters to your baby and pray over them. They also have a baby's first yearbook where you can document everything about your baby's first year of life so that you don't forget a thing, which I promise you, you think you're going to remember it all, but you don't. And that's what's so sad because there's so many amazing things that you're going to wish you could remember. This lets you remember it forever. No matter your season of motherhood, Duncan and Stone has something for you. With Mother's Day coming up, their journals make the perfect gift for you or another mom in your life. Use code LEARNINGTOMOM, all caps, all one word, for 20% off at checkout. Head to duncanandstone.com to shop. The link is in the episode show notes for your convenience. All right, now to these mamas to be who are listening right now.
Yes.
They might not. This might be the first time that someone is really explaining, like, hey, postpartum is possibly not what you think it's going to be. And it's a lot longer than that just 6 weeks appointment and you're clear. So give us a rundown on what the fourth trimester might look like to someone who really has no idea what all is about to happen.
Yeah. So
without scaring us.
Yeah, no, it doesn't need to be scary because we all go through postpartum. You can't prevent postpartum, and it doesn't need to be scary because when you're prepared, like this third postpartum of mine, people are like, how are you alive with three boys, three and under? And yeah. I'm like, because I follow exactly what I preach. So you'll have hormone shifts. They're not preventable. You're going to have them. So what to expect in the first 6 weeks postpartum, right? Engorgement, pelvic floor. We have great partnerships with pelvic floor therapists, chiropractors, lactation consultants. We have all of those already in place for mom. Night sweats. Night sweats isn't talked about. What about afterbirth pains? How much bleeding is too much bleeding? Mm-hmm. So those first 6 weeks are crucial. So I meet with my moms and within the first 6 weeks, like in a perfect world, once a week for the first 6 weeks. So I can say, okay, like, what are we navigating now? And then after that, we start diving into like postpartum anxiety and depression, what signs and symptoms to look for with all those perinatal mood disorders, hormone shifts, what they feel like, what they look like, when you can kind of expect it. And then into supplements. We roll with what the mom is going through currently, sleep regressions with the baby. We help mom navigate how to get more rest. We do a lot of journaling and identifying triggers and managing the new you and accepting the new you. A lot of moms have a hard time, you know, understanding like you're no longer the same woman, and that is okay. That is total. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Like, embrace it. Don't be scared of it. We talk about that stuff. So that's kind of like what the journey is, and put bits and pieces of little things, complications. We have it. Like we have referrals, and we have partnerships with people literally on standby for our patients. And it's wonderful.
So let's just go through some of those first, just physical aspects that you might experience. You mentioned a few, but I know that I didn't know what that meant before I actually experienced it. And I was like, oh, that's what that vocabulary word is. Yeah. That's what engorgement is.
Yes.
So I guess let's just go through those very briefly on what are some physical things that we can expect.
Yeah. So right after birth, some physical things that you can expect, not so much with like first time moms, but you may experience it. So your placenta and your uterus that's in that placenta is, your uterus is like 50 times the size of what normally. So it's like this, I mean, it carries
it's
your.
It's like a dinner plate and it's the size of what,
huge.
A pear
Yes.
or like
Huge.
some.
Yes. Yep. And so your uterus is about this big and then it gets to about this big. And so after you deliver, your uterus contracts. You still have those contractions. Now, as a first time mom, you may not feel this, but the second, third, fourth, fifth. Okay. I was like, what is
oh,
this?
I did not know that they increased with subsequent births.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I felt them plenty.
Uh-huh.
As a first time mom.
I literally like put my hands and I was like, what is this? And I literally wanted to jump out the window. I was like, this is worse than actual contractions. No one told me about it. I was in labor and delivery. No idea. I wasn't in postpartum as a nurse. I was in labor and delivery. I had no idea. No idea. And so I was like, what is this? This is called afterbirth pains. And the idea is specifically when you breastfeed, breastfeeding also induces contraction. So it's shrinking your uterus down.
Yeah.
That's also why you have to have those uterine or fundal massages when your nurse comes in and digs on your belly. It's to increase that contraction and decrease blood. So you don't want to keep bleeding. You don't want a boggy uterus. You don't want it to just be in there. You want it to be firm. And so your body naturally does that for you. But if it needs, if your nurse rubs on it, that's why. It's to get it firm so you're not bleeding. And so that is one. Your milk coming in, like the feeling of letdown, like that tingly sensation of like it pins and needles in your breast and in your nipples.
Yeah.
What the heck is that? No one told me about that. I'm like, why do I have like breast milk syndrome
in
my
nipples? Rock hard. Rock
yes.
Hard.
Rock hard. What signs and symptoms to look for when you should call your doctor? Specifically with C-section. C-section moms are like, why am I bleeding? You still bleed. Headaches, nausea, all of these things. And then you get to when your milk comes in, you know, what signs and symptoms of mastitis? That's a huge infection that can happen to moms. How to prevent it. You know, and then you signs and symptoms of postpartum blues. A lot of moms get postpartum blues. Postpartum blues is not postpartum depression. There is a difference. So we navigate through all of that. Night sweats. No one told me that you were literally like you got like someone just threw a bucket of water all over you. I remember waking up after my first and I'm like,
your sheets are wet. Mm-hmm. Now, how and when should you start, or I guess not when, how we've talked about that, but when should you start preparing for postpartum during pregnancy?
So typically I like moms to start preparing around 32 weeks.
Okay.
Because they do need to prepare for the labor. You know, the labor, they have their birth plan, you know, they want to feel comfortable and what and how they want to deliver. But I really like to get moms around like 32 weeks to go through. We have a checklist. We have a birth plan checklist that we a postpartum checklist that we can give them to attach to their birth plan.
And where do you see a lot of women going wrong in preparing for postpartum?
I just think that in the mindset is, well, we've never had care, so why do we need care now? And I'm like, hey, that is fine. I'll see you in a couple months. And sure enough, they call and they're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that this was even possible. My first was a breeze. And I'm like, that's okay. I think it's a mindset that we think we can do it all and we don't seek help when we need it.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you don't know. So for first time moms, I can't tell you how many intake calls and free discovery calls that we do that moms are like, and I'm like, that's fine. Reach out to me when you're ready. And sure enough, 2 weeks postpartum, those moms are signing up. They're like, yep, we had no idea that this was even a thing. And so I don't think that you can do anything wrong. It's just, we can help you not suffer silently. We can teach you how to be successful and we can teach you to prepare for these things that are inevitably going to happen. You can't prevent them, but we can help you get through them.
I think when it comes to what, or at least what I see in preparing for postpartum, what just Western society's postpartum norms, it makes me so mad. I think of myself as so much still in postpartum, and I'll be talking to someone who isn't a mom yet or something and just thinks that I'm like completely back to normal, where I'm still going through this like identity shift and just hormone changes. And it's just wild.
It is wild. And we always say, hold the mama. It is so true. Like, I can't tell you, like, I have the best support system on earth. God has blessed us with just, I have the best of the best friends, hands down. I mean, I saw it when I knew it before, but when Easton was in the hospital recently, it was like, I had, everybody was just surrounding us with love and prayer and support and dinners and can I help with the kids? And I still felt alone in my first postpartum. Even though I wasn't physically alone, I felt mentally alone. I felt like I was crazy. I was like, why am I having these intrusive thoughts of, you know, when my baby was crying? I'm going to say it because moms need to hear this. Intrusive thoughts happen to every mom. And I will tell you one of mine. There was a time when when Shep, my oldest now, was crying and I was so tired. And I thought in my head, what would happen if I just like shook him to make him stop crying, you know? And then immediately I was like, oh my gosh, like you feel ill, you know, you're like, did I even have that thought? And that is an intrusive thought. And I tell my moms, I'm like, I'm going to say it out loud because it needs to be said out loud and you don't need to be afraid to say it out loud. You're not alone in these thoughts. Now, if you want to act on it, that's a whole other thing that we need to address and we need to get you help. But intrusive thoughts happen to every single mom. And it is terrifying because you think that you are a horrible person. And then it's just this constant cycle of fear. You feel guilty. You feel ashamed. And it's not talked about. And so we talk about that. You know, I ask, are you having any intrusive thoughts? How do you feel about those intrusive thoughts? Like, we go through that and it needs to be the norm. Western culture, it's not the norm. Moms are supposed to just be quiet and get back to life as usual. And then we suffer. And then we see moms that end up, what? They kill their children. Just like the mom that happened in Boston. That mom, a labor and delivery nurse, had reached out for help several times and she ended up killing her children. Now, there's, I'm sure, much more to that story. But she was postpartum. She was 7 months postpartum. And she was asking for help. And no one was there to help her. I have several patients, several testimonies from my patients that say the same thing. Like, I was in the darkest place. I had no one to help me. One of my patients was turned away from her OB because of a billing issue. And she was having postpartum depression. And they would not see her until she paid her bill. And that was in Virginia. That was not in Indiana. She's in Virginia. But I'm like, so it's scary. And I don't want to say that to scare people. I say it because I want people to be aware. Like, this is real. And moms are suffering.
Now, on that same line of mental health and postpartum, can we chat about the difference between postpartum blues and postpartum depression?
Yes. So postpartum blues, you typically in the first like 1 to 2 weeks, it lasts about 2 weeks. So postpartum blues, you'll have symptoms such as like, I feel like I should be happy to have this baby, but I'm not. I don't feel joyful. I feel like I'm having a hard time connecting. I'm crying a lot. I can't sleep. That is postpartum blues. Postpartum depression is anything post 2 weeks. And it's even more. So you still cannot connect with your child. You love them, but you are just having difficulty connecting. So it's really postpartum blues on steroids. Most moms have postpartum blues, not right after delivery, but it's more like about like 4 or 5 days when they get home and it's all kind of settled and you're drowning.
You're just drowning.
You're drowning. Yeah. And then typically it gets better. I know I've had postpartum blues, a little snippet with all of my kids. And then mine with Shep continued. I didn't have trouble connecting with him. I just felt very alone and I was crying a lot. I felt extremely irritable and I was isolating myself. I didn't really leave a whole lot. And that's not like me. So,
yeah. And so I know you shared that at the beginning of how you were diagnosed at 6 months postpartum. Yeah. So to those who are listening, is it possible that you do not experience anything for 4 to 5 months?
Absolutely.
8 months, and then you get it?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. Some moms don't get it till like 2 or 3 years postpartum. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. I thought you were in the clear, if you will, at like a year.
No, you're never necessarily in the clear, because things can happen that are triggering and it can happen. It can happen at any point in time during your postpartum journey. Mm-hmm.
Ding. Woo. Okay.
I know. It's not to scare anyone. It's just that it's very real. And like postpartum anxiety and depression, there's a couple of things that bother me about it and how we treat it is that it was one of my girlfriends. I was out with one of my girlfriends, Megan. She actually just had her fourth little boy a little over a week ago. We were at a park and I'll never forget it. And I was telling her like how I was feeling. I was like, I have low libido. Low libido is another one. No sex drive, AKA. I was just very down. Things that I used to find joy in didn't bring me joy anymore, like working out or reading or being outside. I was just like, I feel nothing. I was very numb. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and she was like, Stace, I think you have postpartum depression. And I was like, what? And she goes, yeah, you need to call your doctor. And I did. I called my doctor, right? And Megan, when she listens to this, she's going to remember this. I called right in front of her and I said, hey, I think I have postpartum depression. And she was like, really? She was like, I'm so sorry. She was like, okay, well, let's put you on some Lexapro. And I thought, great. That is great. I am not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But
that can't be where it stops.
But it can't be. Yeah. And then I started thinking, okay, well, what happens if I go off Lexapro? Like a year later, I'm still on it. And I'm pregnant again. And I'm like, I don't want to be on this when I'm pregnant. You know, I want to. And so I started diving into stuff. And so not one time was I asked how I was sleeping, what supplements I'm on, what I was eating, what my labs were. Not one time.
Yeah.
It's just, here you go. And then nothing after. And in fact, it's hilarious because I'm still prescribed it and they keep filling it. And I'm like, I haven't been on this in 2 years. You know, and it's no fault of theirs. They like OBs truly do not understand supplements. It's not because they don't want to. It's because they're not taught it. They're not taught it in medical school. And honestly, it's not because they don't care about postpartum moms. They don't have the time. They don't have the time to see us. Once that baby's out, they're kind of like, okay, like be on your way. So that's why we're here. We would love to serve postpartum moms. And we partner with a lot of our local hospitals here, a lot of the nursing staff. I even have some patients that are nurses and it's been incredible. And so it's not that, you know, that Lexapro or Wellbutrin or Zoloft aren't great when they're needed, but there is so many things that we can do first to say, okay, like, let's look at those labs. Because I guarantee you, you're depleted and it's called postnatal depletion syndrome is what it is called. That is like the umbrella over what happens. You're depleted.
What you were just saying about those medications reminded me just of similarly what happens in modern medicine with birth control of just here's this, we're just going to mask your issues. Oh, period pain. Here's hormonal birth control. I don't get me on my soapbox, but.
Oh, I get it.
Sentiment there of just
Listen, when were you put on birth control? How old were you?
I was not. My mom luckily really fought against it, but it was pushed on me. And my mom was like, no, she's not going on that.
How old are you?
26. No, I'm 25.
Okay.
I always forget. As you're preparing for postpartum and hearing Stacia and I share about how birth control really does not serve you well, I figured it was the perfect time to tell you about an organization that I myself have worked with to help understand my cycles and fertility. I actually specifically worked with them in my postpartum experience because my cycles were all over the place and I really needed direction and help understanding my cycle again. So if you are new to the podcast, you might not know that my husband and I practice what is called natural family planning, which basically is charting your cycle by monitoring specific biomarkers like cervical mucus, urinary hormones, or basal temperature to help you better understand your fertility and plan your family, whether you're feeling called to prevent pregnancy or achieve pregnancy. Well, this organization, CWC, offers 100% free natural family planning and fertility classes to any Catholic woman or couple 18 years or older. Only 20% of Catholics have ever attempted an NFP method, but their ministry exists to change that statistic. And you know me, I'm a huge believer and a very proud practicer, is that a word, of NFP. All their classes are virtual and online, so they work with your busy schedule. They teach NFP methods to women and couples no matter your stage of life. So if you're single, married, postpartum even, which I would highly recommend making sure you speak with an NFP specialist so that you truly understand your cycle, because our cycles are whack in postpartum and can be really hard to track. They specifically teach the Billings ovulation method. However, if you're wanting to learn a specific NFP method, like using your basal temperature, like Matthew and I do, that I've spoke about here before, then you can still work with them. Contact them to learn more or sign up for free by going to ccnfp.org. The link is in the episode show notes for your convenience.
So I'm 35. I'm going to be 36. And I was put on birth control at 12. Not because I was sexually active, but because my periods were so bad. And that was the norm. So you're 10 years younger than me and it started coming out. So that was the norm. And actually my mom, when I turned 17, she was the one that was advocating for me that I had endometriosis. And they were saying she's too young. Well, now we know that endometriosis can, they're seeing it in 12, 13, 14 year old girls. And why our generation is having so many fertility issues.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, how many moms out there right now between the ages of like 28 and 38 are having issues getting pregnant? And I would venture to say a lot of it is birth control. I had fertility issues. So it is very real. And I have a whole thing on that on my Instagram as well.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. Let's naturally try to get you to a place with what God has already provided on this earth for us. Nutrients, supplements, food. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, 100% do I know. That's why you were such a great fit to come on here. 100% do I know what you're saying. Okay, back on track though. Postpartum Care of Indiana concentrates on 5 essential areas for postpartum mamas. What are those and why are those each important?
Yes, preparation. We went through why that is important. Sleep and rest. So it's not sleep when your baby sleeps. We give you the tools on how to get good rest when you do rest. And when you do sleep, we give you those tools. Companionship is huge. So companionship with yourself, with other moms, with your husband, fellowship. We talk about fellowship a lot. Nutrition and supplements. Already went on that, you know. We already talked about that soapbox. And then the last one's ongoing support and coaching. So we have one-on-one sessions. We have group sessions. So our groups just started in April. And that is so first-time mamas are grouped together. And then second postpartum mamas and beyond are grouped together. And we have different. So the first half hour is really like, okay, moms, like, how's it going? We talk, da 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 da. And then the second half, we always either have like a speaker, like pelvic floor, or
that's cool.
Second half is education.
That's really great. Awesome. And I do have to ask you this.
Please.
What are some of your favorite like postpartum hacks or products for postpartum? More on like a lighthearted note, but just some like really, really great hacks or products.
Yep. So, for me, I don't wear underwear. I wear Depends. So I wear Depends and I put a pad in my Depends because my first postpartum, I would bleed and it was not very, and less laundry. So less laundry. But I also follow the 5-5-5 rule. So this is called 5 days in bed, 5 days on the bed, 5 days around the bed. I hear all the time moms that come to me, they're like, I really haven't done a whole lot. And I lay in bed until like noon every day. I'm like, good. You should not be doing a single thing until for at least 15 days. At least you should be in your room with that baby. And so 5 days on the bed. So what does that look like? A lot of snuggles, skin to skin, laying down, reading, of course, like get up and go shower, whatever that may be, but you should really be in bed healing. Five days on the bed, sitting up a little bit more activity with the baby, sit the baby up a little bit more during wake time, breastfeeding, all of that stuff. 5 days around the bed, you can clean up like your room a little bit, shower, all of that stuff. So really ideally, my biggest hack is stay in bed and rest. You are healing. You just went through the most miraculous but hardest change your body will probably ever go through. And you need to be gentle. My husband knows this. Like if we have another one, I don't come downstairs before noon ever. I am upstairs with the baby. I don't come downstairs. He has the older two boys, or he takes them to daycare or to school. But I rest. That's all I do.
Yeah. I've heard like a few other guests have talked about the 5-5-5 rule. And I wish I would have heard of that.
Yeah.
This was incredibly helpful and just a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being here, Stacia.
Yeah. No, I wanted to tell you, if anyone that is listening, any of your followers or anyone that's listening, mention this podcast, they will get 10% off of their service.
Look at that. Okay. So mention the Learning to Mom podcast and get 10% off. That is so great. Well, as you may know, I always end the episode by asking the guest where people can find them. But because Deja has renamed her company since the time of this recording, her answer was no longer applicable. But I wanted to make sure you know where you can find her to get the goods on all things postpartum health and care. So her website is ppcareusa.com, or you can connect with her on Instagram at postpartumcare_USA. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I'm so glad that you stuck around until the end. Don't forget to leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this podcast and let me know why you continue to tune in. It would really mean the world to me. I will catch you next week.